Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast
with Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined once again by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm having a wonderful but hectic day, Richard. Thank you for asking.
Oh, hectic. Kind of running around a little bit.
Kind of crazy today.
Well, So this episode may be a little bit shorter. I don't know if it will be or not. You can already see the timestamp at this point, so maybe I'm already a liar or maybe I'm telling you the truth. I don't know. We may have to do pick of the podcast without Ryan. So let's just dive right into it. Before we get to this week in Hashtag Dork, Ryan, I don't know if you followed the latest news. This just came out this morning. Apparently, YouTube is up our ass about a video, and they've removed one of the Game of Thrones recaps because they think it was offensive or something.
What did we say that was offensive? Oh, it was even me? All right, whatever then.
Well, no, I mean, we're in this together, I feel like. All of a sudden, we're not going to be able to do YouTube channels, and they're very popular. They get 100 of views. So people seem to enjoy it, and they might take it away from it gets tens of views. And so anyway, that's where we are. We're fighting YouTube now. Comic-Con, you name it. We're the bad boys. And
people who think we're clickbait. Chuck, everyone's coming after us.
I know. We got to keep our head on a swivel. But without further ado, let's get into the news of the week. All right, Ryan, I think to no surprise, Inhumans has been seen by critics, and it is currently getting 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Speaking of seen by tens of people, I think their big IMAX unveiling brought them in like $1.5 million.
That's insane. It was so stupid. Like this Inhumans thing, we've talked about it before. You've probably followed it a little bit, but it was originally going to be a movie. I think part of Phase 3 or 4 of the MCU. Yeah. It was way out in the future. It's sort of they don't have X-Men, so they were going to sort of introduce Inhumans and see how that goes. And this is actually proof that not everything Marvel does is great. Like, they took a big chance on Guardians of the Galaxy a few years ago, and it was a huge success. They made a solo Ant-Man movie, and it was great. And now they're like, you know what, we're going to do Inhumans. People are not interested in the Inhumans, and apparently, even those that did see it thought it was horrible.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talk about this. I don't think we talk about this enough on the air, but you and I certainly do talk about it. Not every set of heroes needs a movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we talk about it a little bit with, like, Black Adam. And now there's, you know, rumors that John Cena is playing Shazam.
I saw that.
Nobody needs to see. it's fine. Like, Shazam doesn't need a movie.
They can't figure out Batman, and they're like, we need to cast Shazam. You're like, no, you don't.
But, like, Inhumans is such, like, a niche thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm sure there are people who are, like, really excited to see it, who are big fans of the comic, which is fine. But, like, you don't need to make that a show.
Call me crazy. If you really wanted to do the Inhumans, don't you just, in the next Avengers movie, you just introduce a couple of those characters, and then you find out what kind of response those characters get?
Yeah, and even if it's like, oh, that was cool. Like,
yeah, that guy was pretty neat. I wonder what a whole movie of them would be like. Or it may go the other way and be like, oh, those two were terrible. Like, fine. Right. Okay, just move on. You don't give them a whole screen time. You don't give them – I love this IMAX release, and then it's going to be on ABC, but they're like, you got to see it. It's really made for the IMAX. And you're like, okay, piss off.
Right.
I'm all set with this. Here's some good movie news, though, Ryan. Well, I guess that's a TV show, but this is a movie. One of your favorite kind of sleeper horror movies was Creep, and Creep 2 – is going to be coming out this October, or should I say, this hashtag Dorktober.
Yeah, and like you said, it's a sleeper for our 50 greatest horror movies. That's on my list somewhere in my top 50.
Ooh, nice. I think it deserves to be. That is going to be an endeavor of epic proportion coming up.
Yeah, and just an unsettling movie. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, a movie
you
never really get comfortable watching. So it's if you haven't seen Creep 1 yet, please check that out. Real, real freaky.
Yeah, that's on Netflix now. That I think you'll enjoy that. Mark Duplass from The Lazarus Effect, which was a trash movie. Also, he's also in The League, and he was in Creep, and he was really good in Creep. A couple of Stranger Things notes here, Ryan. First, they had a video game-style Season 1 recap that came out. I think we tweeted it out, Actor Podcast. It was pretty cool. Like, we've all seen Stranger Things, but just to remember where all the characters were, but also the way they did it, sort of 80s arcade style. Was pretty good.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty sweet. Yeah, I watched that recently. It was pretty cool.
And now the creators of the show have come out. They did it. I forget who they did the article with or who interviewed them, but they're telling viewers for Stranger Things 2, which also comes out in Dorktober, to turn off the true motion or smooth motion on your TV, like that soap opera effect. They say that's not what they want. They say all the directors and the camera people, like they go to such great lengths to shoot it the way they want it to be seen, and then you end up watching it in these true motion kind of things, and it just does not look like they want it to look. So,
and from a person who works in this arena, I can tell you. So
yes.
If you don't know what true motion or smooth motion or it's an overscan. So like if you go into an electronics department and you see those TVs and like the ultra 4K where it's like almost. You can't really look at it. It's, like, hard to look at.
Yeah.
Like, that's like a – so it's basically, you know, their way of, you know, making things like crisp, ultra-high definition stuff. I agree with them. Turn that off. It's probably not the best thing to look at.
Probably not ideal.
We're doing, like, this gritty 80s kind of feel to it. Like, you probably shouldn't be watching it in ultra 4K.
Right. TV news here. We have Professor Pig – is going to be in Season 4 of Gotham. Now, we'd already seen the trailer for Season 4, and they had a really good-looking scarecrow at the end. But apparently, I forget the actor, but they cast Professor Pig. So between Scarecrow and Professor Pig, like, they could go... It's a Fox show, so we'll see just how dark they can go, but they're heading down a pretty...
What to do with, Professor Pig.
That's a dark path right there.
Because I thought when the Arkham series, I think it was Arkham Knight, that Professor Pig shows up. He was one of one of the cooler side missions.
That was really cool. Yeah. You were like down in that little like basement or whatever, like his little like operating room and everything. Yeah, that was pretty. He's a really good Batman, like a sneaky good Batman villain. Like he's never mentioned in like even the top 10 probably, but like that's how deep the Batman villains are.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, last week on the podcast we talked about the standalone Joker movie. That's not going to be in the DCEU. Todd Phillips and Martin Scorsese are going to be involved. And I know you had the hot chili hot take last week that Martin Scorsese being attached to shit doesn't matter anymore. And I said the only thing it means is that Leonardo DiCaprio is probably going to be in it. And then the very next day, the big rumor was they're trying to get Leonardo DiCaprio to be the Joker. What would you think of that casting choice?
I know in reading some reports after that. By the way, that's breaking news. From us, by the way.
We had it before anybody.
Yep. And then I'm hearing that Jared Leto is not pleased about this.
Ooh.
So I
thought he didn't want to be the Joker anymore. What's his problem?
No, he does. So he's already slated to do Gotham City Sirens and then like a Harley Quinn spinoff or something like that. And
yeah.
He is like threatening to walk. And there's this whole thing like, well, they're maybe there, just teasing Leo just to get Jared Leto to stay. You know, there's this whole like back and forth.
Jesus.
But the report is he is not pleased.
What a mess.
With them rebooting it again.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the same shit we were dealing with Batman. But at least Batman himself has been really good. The Joker they've used terribly, but
yeah,
I don't know. But what do you think DiCaprio would be a good Joker?
Nah, maybe it depends on which Joker they go with. You know what I mean? I think we've seen some iterations of the Joker, and you know, it depends on what they do with it.
You think he could do Hot Topic Joker?
No, I don't
probably,
think so.
Probably not. No, he'd have to do his own thing. I think he'd probably be closest to like Jack Nicholson's Joker. Would be my guess.
Better, like I would go real weird with it and do the one where like he from like
Death of the Family.
Yeah, so when he like cut his face off.
Yeah,
stuff, you know what I mean. Like,
yeah. I like that one a lot.
Yeah,
yeah, that was nuts. So that's that. And then one last bit of news here. We just tweeted it out, the trailer for Insidious: The Last Key, which again will be. I think it's out in like January, but gets you set for Dorktober coming up. This is, try to follow along here, this is the fourth movie in the franchise, but chronologically it's the second movie.
Yeah, I saw Insidious 2 by accident. I thought I was watching Insidious 1.
Insidious 1 is very good.
Yes.
Insidious 2, so it's like, I think it was Insidious, if I remember this correctly, it goes Insidious, then a sequel to it, and then now two prequel movies. So strap into that.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Ryan, for the next portion of the show?
I'm going to rock your world.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, drop it on us.
All right, so big news today. We're recording this on a Tuesday afternoon, so the big news today is that Destiny 2 is cocked, locked, and ready to rock.
There you go.
For those of you who downloaded it or got it today, so that's going to be very exciting. I'm going to move through this quickly.
Cool.
So the other thing, Overwatch Season 6 kicked off. We are both back where we need to be. I think we can both agree.
Yes.
That we're both on a level. I think they've leveled out the scales, so you know we're where we need to be.
Right.
We started in a good place.
Feel a lot better about it.
Good, not great.
Right, no, room for improvement, which is nice. There's still something to chase. You know, there's still room for improvement, but at least you're not embarrassed by you know, rocking a silver medal. So we're doing okay. Yep.
So the other thing, too, and this is some dork crossover news you might be interested in.
Love it.
So the good people of UpRocks did, remember the game I talked about, the Fire Pro Wrestling World?
Yes.
Which is, it's a really fun game. If you guys have the means to pick it up, I would say do it. It's really fun. You know, professional, like, you know, wrestling entertainment game. You know, it's
Word.
The style of the WWE, the old, like, WrestleMania 2000 game that we love so dearly.
Yes. Oh, my God.
They created and did an 8-man tournament for, they created Game of Thrones characters.
Holy shit.
And they did a tournament. In the tournament were Jon, the Night's King, Khal Drogo, Tormund.
Giant's Bane.
Sandor Clegane, Arya Stark, Gregor Clegane, and Oberyn Martell.
Wow.
So, do you want to know how it shook out?
Well, you know who they're missing, but he wasn't in last season. I was going to say Dario Naharis should probably be in it.
Dario Naharis did not make the cut.
But he wasn't in last season, so honorable. And, you know, same with, like, Barristan Selmy, I think some would argue would be one of the best fighters, or Robert Baratheon. But anyway, you're basing it off of last season. So they did a tournament, and only one, and there was a, they crowned a winner?
They crowned a winner. So the final match was between Oberyn Martell and Khal Drogo, and Khal Drogo took it.
What?
So that's professional wrestling, so that's not, you know, we're not with spears or poison. So
I do like Oberyn Martell. I think he's a very accomplished fighter.
He would be a high flyer if we're doing the wrestling, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Or he'd also be a great heel because he'd be like such a like a ladies' man and a man's man.
Rude.
Like he doesn't really give a shit. Guys, girls, who cares?
Now, Richard, I have some. This is going to rock your world.
Even more than that?
Even more than that.
All right.
According to Nintendo's official biography, Mario is no longer a plumber.
you know, I read this the other day and I had to sit down. I said, well, then what the hell is he?
The Twitterverse, his it loosely translated from Japanese, it says, all around sporty, whether it's tennis or baseball, soccer or car racing, Mario does everything cool. As a matter of fact, he also seems to have worked as a plumber a long time ago.
Oh, boy.
So it seems as though Mario has lost his job as a plumber.
He's out.
I wonder if Luigi is still holding the family business.
Yeah. You mean Luigi Mario?
Luigi Mario. Not Mario Mario, but Luigi.
You mean Luigi Mario. Yeah, maybe he is. Somebody's got to work, right? You can't just be out there riding go-karts and playing tennis.
Well, I guess that's what Mario's doing. I think he's made enough money in his trade. The trades are down, as we know.
Yeah, big time.
So I know there's actually, which was funny, there actually is a worldwide shortage of plumbers.
Really?
That. Yeah.
That's well, and now that there's not like a role model for one, I can see why.
Yeah, who are the kids going to look up to?
Now, do you think he was a good boxing referee or a bad boxing referee?
I think he was fair.
He was kind of down the middle.
He's down the, yeah.
Yeah.
Down the middle. I think he was stern but fair.
Yeah.
You know,
every once in a while, I felt like maybe a quick count, I'll be honest. Every once in a while.
There was a little bit, yep, where he'd go like 5-6, like real fast.
Yeah, he'd really bark it out, and he kind of, I'm like, all right, let it breathe a little bit. Like, give me a chance here to get up, but anyway.
By the way, how the hell are you a plumber when you wear white gloves?
Yeah, well, you got to be very good at what you do, I guess.
I guess he's not that good.
You're living very dangerously. Yeah, that was a big mistake on his part. Oh, also one thing I meant to throw into This Week in Dork. Today marks the 25th anniversary of Batman the Animated Series.
Awesome.
How about that?
Worth a rewatch. One of the best animated
anything
superhero things ever. Yeah.
Just absolutely incredible. All right, Ryan, are you ready now for the topic du jour?
What's that, my friend?
Ryan, of course, that would be the topic of the day. And today, it is The Defenders. It came out a few weeks back, but we had some other things to get to, including Game of Thrones Season 7 recap. So we're doing The Defenders today. It was an 8-episode run on Netflix, of course, carrying over the story from Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage. All of them had their own standalone season. Daredevil's already had 2 standalone seasons. And we'll start out spoiler-free for those who haven't watched it yet. I feel like you've already had plenty of time, so we'll do this quickly. But spoiler-free, Ryan, did you like it?
I've had some time to kind of let this percolate a little bit. And my answer, I'm going to carefully craft this.
Okay.
I didn't not like it.
Yeah, there you go. I smell exactly what you're letting loose there.
Yes.
That's not a term, but I get it. I know what you're saying there. Now, did you think all of the characters, because again, what's really interesting, and maybe the wrong approach, if we're being honest, is you have Iron Fist and Luke Cage in particular, you give them 13 episodes by themselves, and then you team them all up and you give them 8. So I guess, did you think it was the right number of episodes, and did you feel like all the characters, or at least the characters you wanted to see, were all got appropriate screen time?
I think so, because you have your primary characters who I think they divvied that out nicely. You know what I mean? The only person I would think got a little too much screen time would be Sigourney Weaver. Got a little too much screen time.
Yeah. And she wasn't great. Like, we'll get into that more coming up. I had high expectations for her. I was like, even though that character is not one I'm super familiar with, or even if it's a real character, I don't even know. But I was looking at her, and I was like, well, the actress alone might have enough clout to become like a strong villain, and I don't think she was great.
No, it didn't really work that way. But I would say the one thing I really did like about this is they knew, the showrunner, I think it's Drew Goddard, knew that basically what side of the bread is butter was on. So like he knew who he needed to give screen time, and he knew who, they were very self-aware in who was the hierarchy of the characters.
You know what's amazing though to me is I believe filming for this started before Iron Fist was out. So like the pushback for Iron Fist the character hadn't really been known when they were making this, and yet they still found a way to make him not as bad, and they allowed all the other characters to kind of make fun of him. And
which,
so
in my mind, that self-awareness was the best part of the show.
Yeah, that was really good. What about the action or like the fighting sequences, which I feel like in the Netflix shows at times have been really strong. I mean, like, some of the stuff from Daredevil is unbelievable. Season 1 and 2. Jessica Jones had some pretty good fight sequences. Then there's been some other, like, one of the big knocks on Iron Fist was he barely even used Kung Fu. And so, where do you think they stood in this season?
There were some good. There's some good and some bad.
Right.
That we'll get into a little bit more with spoilers. But I thought it was a mixed bag. You know, with the fighting.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with that. Now, this took place a couple of months after season two of Daredevil, and it says after like a month or so of when season one of Iron Fist ended. And this is a question that we got a few times on Twitter. I think if you didn't watch Iron Fist, like maybe you listened to our episode and we just trashed it, or you just read the reviews from other people and it wasn't very good, you could definitely watch this without seeing Iron Fist. Like there are certainly characters, you'll understand more of it. Like you'll know him, you'll know Colleen Wing, you'll know a little bit more about the Hand, but you've already been introduced to the Hand, which serves as one of the primary villains in the whole series. So you could skip Iron Fist. Maybe read like a brief synopsis if you really want to. Like Daredevil, to me, season one and two, far more important to sort of understand what's going on than Iron Fist.
And this is a perfect example. The Defenders is the first series I watched with my wife.
Okay.
So there was a little bit of like explaining who people were, but it spoke to the show that like the characters that she latched onto, like she hadn't seen Daredevil, she hadn't seen Jessica Jones, she hadn't seen Luke Cage, she hadn't seen any of them. This is the first thing she's watched.
Right.
And the characters that she really liked and wanted to see more of, it correlated with like the, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
She's like, she really liked Jessica Jones, and she's like, how is her series? I'm like, it's excellent. Like,
yeah, you have to go back and watch
really
it.
Like it.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I don't really like this kid. I'm like, yeah, don't worry about him. You know what I mean? Meaning like Iron Fist. Like, don't worry about his series. And I felt like he did a lot of explaining.
Yeah, there's
so
a lot.
You really have to watch Iron Fist because he explains the whole story.
Well, I would say the first two episodes do a really good job of. They're a little bit slower, right? So they're not the most exciting episodes. You need to get into certainly episode three on to really get into like some of the action. But the first two episodes do a really nice job of here are where the characters are now, and here's like the important information from their seasons that you'll probably need. Like they pretty much map it out, which is good. All right, if you had to give a score for season one, what would you give it?
3.5.
Oof.
3.5.
Wow, down to 3, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to start grading harder, I feel like. I give way too many 4s and 5s.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3.5 probably sounds right. And that's right in that sweet spot, too, where I'm glad I watched it, and, you know, I definitely would watch it. So if you had to rank all the seasons, like, to me, Iron Fist is clearly last, and Luke Cage is then the next last. And there's a pretty big gap there. Like,
huge gap.
Yeah, I had a good time with Luke Cage, yeah. But those are the worst two. You can probably take, I would probably put the Defenders at, you know, better than those two, but worse than both Daredevils and Jessica Jones.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would put it smack in the middle.
And I think you can really, I've heard people say Daredevil 1 is the best. I've heard them say 2 is the best. And I've heard them say Jessica Jones is the best. And I'm like, sure. Like all three of those to me are kind of interchangeable. I really enjoyed all three. I might give the slight edge to season two of Daredevil only because I'm such a big Punisher fan and he was great.
And he was great. He like stole the show in that series. I would say, and I want to make it clear, this does not mean negative things against Luke Cage. I think Luke Cage was a very good series. Some of the characters, mainly the villains, I just didn't really care about.
Oh, they were terrible. Like, yeah, that's not his fault at all. Like,
no.
And that's what was sneaky really good about Jessica Jones was they use Purple Man. Well, they don't even call him that. They just call him Kilgrave. And so he was great. Like, he was one of the most compelling villains we've ever seen. Like, real dark, but just a really strong villain on top of Jessica Jones being good and sort of her supporting characters like Trish and Hogarth, I think, being a lot better.
Yes.
But, all right, anything else non-spoiler?
No, it's definitely worth a watch
okay. If
you're into this thing. Don't not watch it because you think it's going to be bad. It's decent.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite, but it's decent.
All right, so spoilers. Unfortunately, we're in a different studio. I don't have the sweet spoiler sounder that Marcus from the Boxers provided us, so just know that it's now spoilers going through. Let me ask you this. I feel like I watched this. I watched a couple episodes twice. I watched it all once. Is this really what happened? Is there a skeleton of a dragon holding up the city of New York and that the Hand needs the bones of the dragon skeleton to then become immortal?
So I think it has something to do with the bones. Maybe it's the marrow. Maybe they grind them up and make it into a paste.
Oh, my
put
goodness.
Put it on their toast.
But so just so we're clear, there's a dragon holding up New York.
I don't think it's holding up all of New York.
Hell's Kitchen.
I don't know.
I feel like that might be what it is. And I'm like, what?
There's some excavation under a building where a dragon's fossil lived. And they need those bones.
They need the bone.
With the sauce.
Well, and they need the bag of eyes. They needed Danny Rand's iron fist to punch through a certain area. It's like to have access to it.
Which was the dumbest shit ever, because I'm watching that fight scene with him and Elektra, and I'm like, clearly she's going to move, and you're going to hit the fucking thing.
Like, don't even light it up, bro. Like, mix in a kick. Like, you know kung fu.
You know what's going on. And this is the problem with that. I think his character's just fucking stupid.
He's dumb. He's a dumb idiot. Now, part of it is, you're a dumb idiot because, you grew up, you were raised by monks, so it was a sort of a different upbringing than maybe typical. But when you're getting into a fight with Elektra, and they've already told you, they need the iron fist to break through there. And then he's like, let me light it up anyway. I'm like, ugh.
Or what I would have done, if I'm Danny Rand and they're like, we need the iron fist to open this door, I would just be like, no. And he'd be like, you have to. And he'd be like, no, I don't. And you're not going to kill me because you still need me. So no, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I'm not opening it. Yeah, they didn't do that.
Me more than I need you. No, I'm just, what are you going to do, kill me?
Well, it's funny too. The series begins with Iron Fist. And I'm like, oh no. I'm like, please get to the other characters. And they did.
Yeah.
They absolutely did. You also see Daredevil early on. He's back to being a lawyer, and he's not Daredevil. You have Luke Cage getting out of jail. He gets some coffee with Claire, which is always nice. And then Jessica Jones is like doing her Jessica Jones thing where she's like, I'm not taking the case. I will take the case. I don't want to take the case.
But on my terms.
Yeah, I don't take a lot of lip from anybody. Except myself, and even then, not so much. Did you get the sense that Colleen Wing and Stick were like also members of the Defenders, it felt like?
At times, yeah. But it was nice to see, and like I said, one of the good things is like Colleen Wing in like the later episodes kind of got pushed upside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is fine, because I don't need any more of her. And I, you know, Stick.
You don't like Colleen Wing?
I do, but like, and do less. You know
what I mean? Yeah,
I mean, she's
running a dojo, pretty good.
Yeah, but she runs around New York with a sword, and no one says anything.
Well,
running around with a sword.
I think you're allowed one personal item in addition to your carry-on.
In Major City, you can run around with a katana, and no one's going to say boo.
Well, she's very skilled in it.
In broad daylight, running around with a sword. If I saw someone in my town, running around the streets with a sword,
I'd get in the hell inside.
I go inside.
I'd get inside, yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely get inside. You also get the return of Misty and Foggy and Trish Walker and Karen Page and Malcolm. They're all there. It's literally the who's who, Hogarth. Everybody from all four seasons was in this, which I thought was pretty cool, kind of bringing the whole universe together. Again, the Netflix universe, God forbid we incorporate any of the movie universe into this. Where was Spider-Man? They mentioned Spider-Man. Did Spider-Man swing through it all? Did they reference him? Was there any kind of Spider-Man reference?
There were two cataclysmic events on the planet, and we just sweep those under the rug.
Oh, my God. Where's his spider sense? Does he have any? Could he maybe swoop in? Maybe help him out? Nothing.
That would have been something else if that happened.
Oh, my God. Now, I do like this. When Daredevil meets Jessica Jones, I thought that was a very... And we'd already seen that from the trailer, but I thought it was a great way, because she's, she's kind of, plays by her own rules, and she's going to have trouble with the law, and then Daredevil swoops in there and is, like, her lawyer. So I did like that. I thought that was pretty good. And then you also get Luke Cage being introduced to Iron Fist by Claire, because Claire, obviously, her and Turk are, like, in all of these shows, and they sort of, like, connect all the dots.
Right.
And then finally you get all four of them together in episode 3. I thought that was pretty good. At the Chinese restaurant, I thought that was pretty good stuff.
That was a good episode. And when they did their first little battle in the office building, I thought that was pretty cool.
So we already said Sigourney Weaver as Alexandra was not great. Like, she was like the leader of the Hand, and it sort of been built up before. Because wasn't it in Iron Fist when they were talking to Gao, and Gao made some reference about somebody even higher than her? And you're like, oh, okay. Like, so you're setting something up. But then, I don't know, her whole plan, this is probably why it is a 3.5 or a 3. Like, her whole plan was she's going to resurrect Elektra, and now Elektra's going to be like the greatest fighter of all time. But it's not Elektra. But she pretty quickly became Elektra again. Like, that shit wore off real fast. And then she just kills Alexandra, and then, that was the end of episode 6, just kills her, and she's like, I'm leading this now. I'm like, you are? Do you even want to? Like, what are you talking about?
Like, you can't have run this organization for like 1,000 years and be that dumb.
Yeah, like, are you sure you're gonna have control of this black sky? Like, you're gonna be able to control her? Like, everything's gonna be fine? So that was kind of a letdown. And all the characters in the hand, you know, like, it's kind of an Like, I feel like you can do better for...
Like, Bakudo sucks. I'm glad he's dead.
Bakudo stinks, yeah.
And then Gao obviously makes it out. We're into spoilers, so...
Oh, my God, yeah. Gao. So Gao sometimes has, like, a force punch, and then other times she doesn't?
It's like chi. She's going to harness her chi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Iron Fist.
Dark chi.
Yeah, I suppose. But anyway, like, the villains, that's always been a knock in Marvel, and, like, so when you do have a good one, it's a pleasant surprise. But more often than not, it seems like you end up having kind of a bad villain. What did you think of Elektra? Like, we just hit on it a little bit, but, like, her whole, like, story arc and, like, how they used her.
So it was kind of a waste, because it was like, you think of the, and I don't like to draw parallels to this, because it's completely different. It's apples and oranges. But, like, how Hawkeye was used in the first Avengers. Like, that's kind of a cool character who you kind of waste.
Right.
You know what I mean? And only to bring back, like, in the ninth inning to be like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? It's still Elektra.
Yeah.
And that whole thing was, like, pretty muddy. It was just pretty muddy.
Like, I don't like that shit either. Like, we see that in movies all the time or in TV shows where it's, like, for whatever reason, whether it's a brainwash or whether it's something, and then it's, like, no, like, one character's like, no, I can get through to him. And all the other characters are like, no, you can't. Like, you got to save yourself. He's like, no. Like, she's still in there. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
I think, I believe we call that a trope.
Yeah, that trope. We've seen that trope a time or two, I would say. Why do you think Daredevil stays down in that hole with Elektra?
Because I would go to you and I both understand this very well, the Catholic guilt. You know, he's responsible for all of this because let her die, and, you know, so he's got to be the one to stay behind. But also, you know, he loves her, and he has to, you know, this is all things we've seen before in other movies and other things. You know, it's that whole tired thing, that self-sacrifice, the martyr hero, like all that stuff. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. How do you think he survives it?
He finds himself under some dragon bones that are pretty impenetrable, even though they can cut them.
Okay.
And he survives that way.
You think maybe anything to do with dragon glass?
Maybe. Hopefully.
Do you think Elektra's dead?
No.
No, of course not. Of course not.
She's not dead.
Of course not. The end scene there with the nuns, and you get the get Maggie. That, of course, is Daredevil's mother, and highly recommend. I mean, it's probably been the pick of the podcast before, but if you go back
several times.
You find it. But Daredevil Born Again by Frank Miller is unbelievable, and that ending. That's why I think they left it on a high note for me, and so when I see Daredevil in that bed, and like the nuns are nursing him back, and they reference Maggie, you're like, oh God, they're going to Born Again. So they ended on a high note. I'm like, this is great. But then I'm with you. You go back and look at it, and overall, kind of lowers the score. I also felt like, fair to say, this is kind of like Daredevil season 2.5. Like, all the other characters are definitely involved in it, and I'm sure it's going to, you know, impact their stories going forward. But it's sort of like a one-off for some of those characters, or like Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. Like, they'll move on. More Daredevil, like, this is so significant, and like, this whole franchise was based off of the success of season one of Daredevil, and then you combine that with two. This is super. Like, you can't jump into season three of Daredevil without having seen the Defenders.
No. No, and I think it's great. It's a good thing. He's clearly, like, if you, based on screen time or whatever, the most compelling of the four characters.
Holy shit, he is Daredevil, this guy.
And, like, he does this thing now. I don't remember him doing it in the first two seasons of Daredevil. Like, when he hears something, how he moves his head, it's like a fast twitch.
Oh, yeah, he does it, yeah.
You can't see it, obviously, but, like, he does, like, that, like...
Yeah, he would.
But he does, him and, was it Scott Glenn, who plays Stick, do a really good job of playing blind. And
I know that's, oh my God, it's amazing. Like, you would think they both were blind. Like, they do an unbelievable job.
The way they, like, look at people and the way they listen to when people are talking.
Yep.
It's actually pretty fascinating to, like, watch them do that.
Well, there's that story out there that Charlie Cox was auditioning for something else. And I forget what it was. It was like another TV show or another movie. And he was so used to being Daredevil that he blew his chances because he was like acting kind of like Daredevil. And they're like, what? Like,
I'm over here. What are you looking at?
This is not what we're looking for. Here are a few things that I liked from the Defenders. I liked the idea of sort of Luke Cage and Iron Fist, like that partnership forming. Like there was a lot of scenes with the two of them together. You know, Luke Cage kind of making fun of Iron Fist and like those guys, like some light moments, but sort of, you know, teasing the team up between those two, which I really liked.
I like that too, because those are the two characters who, like, you can tell they immediately like each other.
Yes.
Which was nice. It was nice to see, you know, there's none of that, like, sizing people up, like Jessica Jones and Daredevil or, you know, Luke Cage and Daredevil. Like, they're, like, sizing each other up. And it was immediate, like, they...
They did have a good fight, too. Like, they had a pretty good fight where, like, they were learning something about, like, Iron Fist. Like, holy shit, like, this guy's rock solid. And then, but then, you know, he gets punched out, or he punches out Luke Cage. So that was pretty good. Yep. I also like they're keeping, even though right now Luke Cage is with Claire Temple, in the comics he is married to Jessica Jones and they have a kid. And they're sort of keeping that potential relationship alive. Like they have that scene in the bar in the last episode. And so, and then there was that one scene when they were like in a fight and like he was like on top of her and she said like, "Yo, you remember this?" And like, so there's some good stuff there. And I think ultimately they'll be back together.
I like that. It's nice that they leave things open.
And I also like all of the Born Again, like I said, references. Here are some things I didn't like. Of course, the Spider-Man. No Spider-Man. Yeah. Very, very, very few MCU references overall in this one. They mentioned the incident, obviously, a couple of times. But compared to some of the other seasons, even like Luke Cage, like there was next to nothing as far as the Avengers or anything like that. Also, there was no Punisher at all until the little teaser. Like, they did that teaser trailer afterwards at the final episode, but they didn't mention him. Like, I thought, you know, maybe Karen would say something about him or anything, but there was no mention of Punisher. Did that bother you?
A little bit. You know, I say this sounds stupid in my head when I think about it, but, like, it would have been, like, a line, something to be like, well, I got a guy for that. Like, if you need...
Yeah, right.
Bombs. We need some bombs to blow this place up instead of having Colleen Wing, like,
right,
rob the police station.
Yeah,
convenient.
Call him in.
The evidence room open.
Call in the Punisher.
Be like, hey, I got a guy.
I also, I'm not, and this might just be me, but anytime there's a movie or a TV show now where a building in New York is getting destroyed, it's not really my thing.
We're kind of over that. Yeah.
I think we can do better than that. Here's some Easter eggs and references, Ryan. People love Easter eggs and references. Misty Knight, of course, loses her arm. In the comic book, she has like a bionic arm, so like they're setting that up. Let's see. They do reference Jessica Jones and what she did to Kilgrave at one point. I think it might have been some of the police officers or whatever. Yeah. They mentioned that. Ward Meacham is brought up when Iron Fist is in Rand Enterprises or Industries or whatever the frig it is.
I'm here to see Ward, and like he's on a trip, which is pretty lazy. But
yeah, that was terrible. Yeah. Now, this one might be a stretch, but again, this is some of the good stuff. So remember the scene in the police department when they were trying to keep all of their friends like safe, and they were up looking at some of the pictures on the wall, and Karen Page is in there, and one of the pictures that you could see very clearly references something about heroin. And in Born Again, like I don't know if they'll do this. Like the Netflix series is dark, but this... they have not really set up at all. And, like, this reference is definitely a stretch. But Karen Page in that comic becomes addicted to heroin. Like, she's just like a druggie. And she gives up Daredevil's secret identity just for, like, another fix. Like, she's like prostituting herself for heroin. And then she tells somebody who then relays that information onto the Kingpin that she is, or that Matt Murdock is Daredevil. Now, I would have said spoiler, but that comic's been out since the 80s, so that's already out there. But do you think there's any chance they would do that with Karen Page?
Maybe. I mean, it depends on how, you know, that would be kind of cool.
That would be.
If it were an HBO show, I'd be like, absolutely.
Yeah, yes, they will.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, before you get out of here, we have the Defenders questionnaire. This is very important stuff. Number one, and now don't take into account anything from like comic books or anything from, you know, video games or anything like that. But strictly from what we've seen in the Netflix series, who is the best fighter between Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist?
Daredevil, hands down.
I agree completely. He beat the shit out of Iron Fist.
He beat him up. He kicked his ass. He kicked, and he's the only one who went like hand to like head to head with Elektra and like beat her.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Elektra might even be the answer. No, it's probably still Daredevil. Yeah, it's without. And I felt like in this season in particular, when you could see him with everybody else, it was so clearly him. There was no doubt. Like the other two are both very strong. Like Jessica Jones, and like they didn't highlight her very well at all.
I will tell you this: Kristen Ritter is not an athlete. Like if you see her like on screen, like throwing a punch or like running, like she is not very athletic.
Oh, it's really bad. Like that hallway scene, which by the way, it can't be a season on Netflix without a hallway fight scene,
right?
Or a stairwell fight scene. But it's almost like comical. Like you see the old guys, like Danny Rand's okay at it. Charlie Cox is great. The guy who plays Luke Cage is solid, and then her doing like these little bullshit like flips, and you're like, no, that doesn't look right.
Yeah,
but yeah, and Daredevil also has a lot of like Batman in him, where he doesn't have any real special abilities, but he's also so intelligent that if it was a one-on-one fight between him and Luke Cage, like he would still find a way to win.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty clear. All right, so on the back of the Marvel cards, remember back in the day they'd have they'd have all the ratings. So I think it's 1 through 7. I think 7 was the highest you can have.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, let's not rank every single guy, but let's just say out of all these, who would be ranked the highest? That's probably the easiest way to do
it.
So out of those four, the highest strength.
It's got to be, I toss up between Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? This will be easy. So strength, I would say Luke Cage and Jones, both probably like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Daredevil probably like a 2 or a 3, and same with Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Although Iron Fist kind of a wild card because when he's using the Iron Fist, probably much higher. Intelligence.
Daredevil.
Daredevil definitely the highest intelligence. I don't even know who would be second, to be honest.
Probably Jessica Jones. She's a PI.
Yeah, she's a PI. Energy projection.
I mean, the only one who does it is Iron Fist.
All Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Mental powers. It's only Iron Fist, right? Or no, he doesn't even have mental powers. None of them do.
None of them do. So they're all pretty low on that scale.
So that's what I was also going to say. So there's two more on here, but wouldn't you say, like, so the Fantastic Four, for example, like, they have 4 very different kind of superpowers. This group, they have 2, like, hand-to-hand fighters, and they have 2 really strong people.
Yeah, like ninjas.
They have 2 ninjas and 2, like, you know, bodybuilders. Like, you kind of need to diversify, maybe. Fighting ability, we already said Daredevil is clear, but if you had to rank them, Daredevil 1.
Yeah. Luke Cage.
Yeah.
He's just big and slow, you know what I mean?
So he is bulletproof, though. He's pretty good.
Yeah. But the ability to fight.
Probably.
I would say Daredevil, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones.
Yep, I agree. And then speed is the last one.
Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil's definitely the best. Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are both slow. Iron Fist is probably second fastest.
Yeah.
All right. This is a question that's probably just as important. If you could steal a smooch from any of the following: Jessica Jones, Colleen Wing, Claire Temple, Karen Page, Misty Knight, Trish Walker, Elektra, Sigourney Weaver's character, or Gal, who would it be and why?
This is a toss-up. I am a huge Rosario Dawson fan.
Yes,
I like her a lot. Also, Trish Walker, who
she is piping hot. Like that is that's
she
a
was
pretty
hacker chick from Transformers, right?
I don't remember. I didn't watch Transformers.
Oh yes, Australian by birth.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm.
That is a powerhouse lineup though. There are some really good ones. Like Karen Page, I liked her a lot in True Blood.
Show enough.
I might go Trish Walker, though, myself there. All right, here we go. Who in the series, Ryan, would be the most use to the Avengers?
That's a great question, Richard.
Thank you. I crafted it myself.
Yeah.
So the Avengers, let's say they need to recruit one of their upcoming movies. They're like, we only need one, or maybe they have something. Also, maybe keep into account what they have on the staff.
I think that's what where we're running into problems here is because they already have their roster's pretty deep.
Yeah, they're loaded.
Fantasy football team.
Yeah,
they're pretty deep.
You know what the sad reality might be, and I hate to say this.
It might be Iron Fist.
Yeah, because he's the most different, and he might have a thing that only he was the key in this one. He could be the key for some other bullshit thing.
Right.
Because like Daredevil, again, we know is the best, but you know, they already have Captain America, and they have now they have Black Panther too, and like they got all the Iron Man,
Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage. Like, we got a strong guy. Don't worry, we got the strong guy.
Yeah, we have Hulk and Thor. Like, you guys are trash.
We're good.
It's probably Iron Fist. That sucks.
Yeah.
Best Netflix series villain.
I thought Kilgrave was probably the best.
I got to go Kilgrave as well. I would definitely go Kilgrave. I would say, you know, Elektra had a chance, and then also the way Punisher was being used, like he was sort of like he's classic like anti-hero, but it's,
right.
As far as super villain, it's I think it was definitely Kilgrave. I agree with that. And then here's the last question on my on the official hashtag Dork Defenders questionnaire. What not just main character, include any reoccurring character in all of these series. Who is the worst character?
If you asked me at the beginning of this, I probably would have said Foggy Nelson.
Yeah, I think it might be.
He's just such a boner.
He sucks. And he's a bad actor, too.
That's Fulton Reed. You watch your mouth.
I know. He's gotten worse.
Well, he has. Well, I tell you what. He has Ryan Davey disease because I, in a 7th and 8th grade, was like the biggest kid in my class. And now I'm just a little shit of a person. And the same thing happened to Fulton Reed.
Yeah.
Remember in those movies, he was a monster.
He was a bully.
Now he's a little turd.
That sucks. He sucks.
He sucks, and
Iron Fist.
We've given him enough grief. I'll just say Foggy Nelson.
I would say Foggy. I would say Iron Fist. I would say he didn't come back, so he was only in a one-off, but that Ward Meacham was horrible, too.
Oh, he was awful.
He's real bad, but
yeah.
For the most part, I like most of the characters in this universe. Like, I think they're all pretty good, so.
But I would say, not even close, like with a bullet. Like Kilgrave was just so creepy and just so dark. You know what I mean?
Oh,
people do like messed up stuff.
Yeah,
that was
nuts.
Bad.
All right, Ryan, I know you have to run, so I'll do pick of the podcast by myself, but if you have any final words, you can share them now.
Again, it's something you should watch, something that's definitely worth your time. It's not the greatest thing you've ever seen, but as you can tell from this podcast, we are passionate enough about it that it's good enough to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my takeaway.
Thank you very much, Ryan. We'll talk to you next. Oh, by the way, what do you think we should do next week? I guess we can think about it. I want to do a Friday Night Lights episode TV version sometime in September. I don't know about next week necessarily, but we can think on it.
We'll give it a think.
All right, Ryan. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Pick of the pod.
All right, let's do the pick of the podcast solo here. Ryan has to run. It's scheduling. You know, sometimes life gets in the way, I suppose. But my pick of the podcast for this week is another plug. Yeah, a shameless plug. I was on Mac and Goo once again. I know it's been a couple times in a month here. And I was on, of course, with Mac and Goo and Marcus from the Boxers podcast. He, of course, of the Pick of the Pod theme, the This Week in Dork theme, the Davies Video Game Minute theme. And we joined forces. One of the things Mac and Goo do is the drafts, whether it's episode drafts. They've done, we did South Park before. They did, I think, a SNL cast member draft. They've done a whole bunch of drafts in the past. This week, it is episodes of The Office. And yes, of course, I mean the American version. To me, it's the only version. That's not really fair, but whatever. It was the Office episode draft. So each of us, I think, had 12 episodes. So we discussed close to 50 episodes, and that is available now up on Mac and Goo. So you can give those guys check them out on iTunes. Speaking of iTunes, you could check us there. You could subscribe there. We are at other places as well. If you happen to be listening to this on iTunes and you have friends that say, I don't have iTunes, I would like to listen to that. It sounds like a lot of fun. I'd like to be a part of that. Maybe have something else to bond over, another thing to share in your life. I think we're also on Google Play. I think we are on Stitcher. Is that right? We are on really whatever there is podcasting available. We are there. If you search out hashtag dork, you can subscribe, you can rate, you can leave a review. We appreciate all those. We read all those. It's very kind. At least most of them are very kind. We're on Twitter at Dork Podcast. We're on YouTube for now. We'll see what the hell happens, but we are on YouTube for now. If you go to youtube.com/dorkpodcast, the most recent Davey did Dorks in Antiquity. As you know, if you listen to this podcast, Davey is a classicist. He's a Latin teacher. He's Roman, Greek. He's very well versed in that. So he went through some of the good and the bad as far as it relates to movies based off of the Greeks and the Romans. So I would give that a check out on the YouTube. We're also on Snapchat. You can buy a T-shirt. Say you want a T-shirt, right? Who doesn't want a T-shirt? If you go to represent.com and then just search out hashtag dork, and you'll see the T-shirt on there. And you can email us as well, and email us some show ideas, because we're looking for some. We have it pretty much planned out for a while. You know, if there's a big movie coming out, we'll usually do it the next week. Dorktober is going to be back, baby. Dorktober 2, Electric Boogaloo, is going to be, I think, 3 episodes in October. We're going to be doing our 50 greatest horror movies, and it's going to be me, Davey, and Uncle Buck. So the three of us kind of, you know, voting in on what movies are the best horror movies. So that's going to probably be a 3-part episode, just to give us enough time to talk about each one. As I told to Davey, we're going to try to do a Friday Night Lights TV show episode as well. But I think we have some free dates in September as well. So if you have any ideas, you can either tweet them at Dork Podcast or hook us up on the email dorkpodcast@gmail.com. So that'll do it. This is a little bit shorter episode this week, but thanks for listening to this one, and we will talk to you guys next week.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.